This morning, as Ryan was reading, we're going to be in Psalm 1. And as I was studying for this, I thought I was really creative with my title. But as it came to, as it was known to me, every commentary that I studied had the exact same title, A Fork in the Road. So I'm not as creative as I thought I was going to be. So with that, that's okay. I got over it a little bit. So, all right. So who are baseball fans in here? Anyone? Anyone, baseball fans, you guys know history about baseball, right? So many of you might know this person. His name is Lawrence Peter Berra. Does that sound familiar at all? Maybe so. He was also known as Yogi Berra, believe it or not. That he is one of the greatest catchers of all time in Major League Baseball. That he was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1972. And he was a 15-time All-Star and a three-time American League MVP, that he played in 14 World Series with the New York Yankees, and he's a member of the baseball's all-century team. And he's also he also joined the Navy at age 18. He participated in the D-Day, the invasion of Omaha Beach in World War II. And Yogi Berra, he's known as a great baseball player, but he's equally known for his famous yogiisms. Okay, becoming one of the most quoted personalities of the 20th century. Now, if you guys don't know who he is, look him up on YouTube. It is awesome watching him talk, because he just, time after time, he comes up with these yogiisms. Absolutely love it. So let's hear some of them. Some of the things that he has said is, it ain't over till it's over. It's like deja vu all over again. You better cut the pizza in four pieces, because I'm not hungry enough to eat six. I usually take a two-hour nap from 1 to 4. I never said most of the things I said. And Little League baseball is a very good thing because it keeps the parents off the streets. And perhaps his best one, and he even admitted himself, I saw an interview with him, he said this is the best one that he said he has, is when it comes to a fork in the road, take it. Now, if you think about that last statement, there's some truth to that. When you come to a fork in the road, you must take it, right? That life confronts us with many forks in the road. Will I go to college? Will I marry or remain single? Whom will I marry? Will we have any kids? How many kids will we have? Where should I go to work? Will I put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? When I die, will I go to heaven or hell? You see, these are important and significant questions, and they are unavoidable forks in the road, and each of us will face different circumstances and situations that confront us with decisions that we must take. But we have to be, well, thankfully, though, as we look at Psalm 1, that God gives us a roadmap, okay? That will guide us, so that when we come to these forks in the road, that we will choose the right and wise path. Now, again, as we Christians, we want to choose the right and wise path, right? Choose the path that's going to glorify Christ. And in Psalm 1, we are confronted with two men, two roads, and two destinies. And this psalm shows how important some life decisions are. And this first psalm, it rightly also sets the tone for the psalms that follow. That in fact, the first verse of the psalm reveals the first key of a blessed life. Now, when you come to a fork in a road, what should you do? What does the wise person do in that situation? Well, let's look at our first point this morning. Reach for life that pleases God. We're going to see this in verses 1 through 3. You see, the psalmist begins with the character and condition of a godly man. And we see general observations of life, especially God and our relationship with him. And in the wisdom, psalm, it's very similar to the wisdom of Proverbs, as it draws a contrast between two men and two approaches of life and two roads to travel and two destinies. And one way is the blessed road, those who follow God, and the other is the tragic road of those who follow the ways of the wicked, the sinners and the mockers. See, we need to understand that all men are sinners. This is very important as we go through this passage. All men are sinners. That all have fallen short of the glory of God, as we see in Romans 3:23. That no man is able to stand before God by virtue of his own righteousness. But all believers have the righteousness of Jesus Christ given to them by faith. And so all believers are righteous in the sight of God, while all unbelievers are unrighteous and ungodly in his sight. So as we look at this, let's read verse 1 real fast. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Which gives us our first thing as we look at these three verses is know when to say no. We see this in verse 1. We need to know when to say no. Now, this is very important for believers, right? There are believers who have a hard time saying no because they don't want to hurt someone's feelings, or they don't want to be made fun of, or maybe because they don't want to get fired from their job. You see, wisdom is as much about knowing when to say no as it is when to say yes. It is knowing when to walk away, when to swim against the tide, and when to not follow the crowd, and when they laugh at you or make fun of you, even if they do that. You see, this psalm teaches about three areas that we must learn to say no. The first one is don't walk with the wicked. Now, the word blessed or happy, depending on the translation that you have, describes a rewarding, a fulfilling life. So what kind of person lives the blessed and rewarding and meaningful life? Well, the psalmist answers by describing what the blessed person avoids. He gives three negatives of descending disaster: association, identification, and fixation. You see, first the psalm warns us not to follow the counsel or take advice of the wicked. And which are the wicked are actually mentioned four times in Psalm 1. Whom you follow will certainly shape your conduct. That it is difficult to avoid imitating and becoming like those who we walk with on a daily basis. We see this all the time, either at home or in the workplace, at school, or with friends. The people that you associate with, the people that you're around with a lot, you tend to start to become like them. You see this all the time. Again, John Calvin said, little by little, men ordinarily are tempted to turn aside from the right path. You see, following the advice of the wicked, it starts simply association with people who, for whom the things of God do not matter at all. And we need to be careful where we go. We need to be wise about the people that we listen to. We need to we have to understand not all advice is good advice, right? That don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The second is don't stand with sinners. The word stand, or in other translations as pathway, conveys the idea of staying a while, of stopping to look and listen, and hanging around or hang out with. The word describes a manner of life, the way one lives. Sinners are those who miss God's mark. And instead of taking a stand for God, they take their stand with those who oppose him. That their way of life is more important than Christ's way of life. That sin becomes their pattern and sinners become their partners. And instead of wisely imitating Christ, the ultimate blessed man, they foolishly imitate sinners. The third thing we see in verse 1 is don't sit with scoffers. Now, finally, the psalmist warns us not to throw our lot in or to sit in the company of scoffers. The action from walking to sitting describes moving from thinking like the wicked to living like the rebellious and to mocking like the skeptic. If we walk in the wicked, in the counsel of the wicked, this way of life is now our home. This is where we sit. This is where we are comfortable. Not only do the things of God not matter to us, but we mock as fools those who think the things of God do matter. You see, scoffers or mockers describe the self-sufficient who pridefully say, I don't need God. I will live my life my way. They laugh at and look down on those who live for God. They're the kind who live for this life, only forgetting the life that is to come. Let's look at verses 2 and 3. Know when to say yes. Now, it's important, again, for us to know when to say no, but it's also as important as know when to say yes. You see, the psalmist now presents the positive case for the righteous, blessed and God-honoring life. Continued in these two verses is both a plan and a promise for those who pursue the life that pleases God. Let's look at verse 2. But his delight in the Lord of the and in the law of the Lord, and all his law, he meditates on it day and night. Now, we should delight in the Lord and God's law, right? That we should take joy and find pleasure in the word of God. That we should be the people who love the Bible. We have to understand that it's a joy, it's not a burden at all, to learn it and to live it. Spurgeon says, the law of the Lord is the daily bread of the true believer. You see, the wise person gives his absolute yes to the word of God. The one that delights in the word of God has found a full inner satisfaction and happiness. How is your heart toward the word of God? What we also see in verse 2 is we need to say yes to God's wisdom. We need to understand that the person who delights in the word of God meditates on it day and night. That the word meditate, it means to think over something by talking to oneself. That he or she is carefully and continually ponders and weighs the scripture. That's what meditating is. That you constantly do this on a daily basis. In Joshua 1:8, it reminds us, it says this, that this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. And for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You see, here is a person who is preoccupied and consumed with the word of God, that it is their priority, that it is their passion. We should ask ourselves some of these questions. What do you think of the most when you are alone? What do you think about when you daydream? What comes to mind and fills your heart when heartbreak strikes and disappointment comes? In a 24-hour day, in a 10,080-minute week, in a 2,592,000 seconds in a month, which I looked that up on Google, okay, how much time do you give to memorizing and meditating God's word? You see, what we love, we will spend time with. It's very, very true. Let's look at verse 3. it says that he is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its seasons. And its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. So we need to say yes to God's will. This is incredibly important. In Romans 12:2, it says that God's will is good and pleasing and perfect. And the psalmist says that God's will is fruitful and prosperous. We need to understand this, that in the dry desert of the Middle East, the picture of a beautiful fruit-bearing tree located by streams of water should be striking, yes? That this life is healthy, it's fruitful, it's successful. Maybe not in man's eyes, but surely in God's eyes. That this life is worth living. It means something. It matters. And the people who live this life, they trust God to plant them. They trust God to make them prosper. These are happy people because the road that they choose, it pleases God. Now, what then do a spiritually prosperous life look like? What does that look like? To answer, we can reinstate verse 1, okay? Such a person walks in the counsel of the godly. They stand in the way of the righteous. They sit in the seat of the hopeful. You see, they study the word. They act with wisdom. They are devoted to God's will. This life is the truly prosperous life. Let's read verses 4 and 6 real fast. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. And therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So what we get from here is our second, I guess, main point, as run from the life that displeases God. You see, Jesus says in Matthew 6:24, he says that no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, it says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. So what is the way that leads to destruction? What is the road that we do not want to travel? Well, verses 4 and 6 are going to give us the answers to those questions. The first one is stay away from the useless life. We're going to see that in verse 4. You see, verse 4, it begins by contrasting the wicked person with the righteous person of verses 2 and 3. And unlike a strong, fruitful tree by the rivers of water, the ungodly are chaff, straw, dust in the wind. You see, chaff is the ultimate in what is rootless, weightless, and useless. You see, the wicked are not like the blessed person of verses 1 and 3, that they are spiritual lightweights. They have no roots. They have no foundation. They have no substance. That they lack the real stuff that gives meaning to their existence. It is the useless life. It is useless to God. It is useless to others. You see, this picture of chaff was familiar with the people at this time. Every harvest that they saw, the grain being beaten and sorted on the local threshing floor, situated on some open raised site. And during the sorting, the grain that was still mixed with the broken straw and the husk was thrown into the wind, that the wind blew away the useless chaff. See, my dad, he started his own coffee business a couple years ago, and he roasts his own coffee. And one of the things that he enjoys is roasting the green beans and watching them turn from an earthly smelling green bean to a beautiful, fragrant golden brown. It is really an awesome thing to kind of see. The process of this, of getting there, is quite rewarding. The smelling of the coffee aroma on every stage as it darkens. And what is left are the beautiful, glossy brown beans with amazing fragrance that fills my dad's roasting room, which is actually his garage. So I love going over there and hanging out in the garage because that's what it smells like all the time. You see, and after all that, the beans are ready to grind, to brew, and enjoy for the great taste and experience. You see, during the roasting process, though, a large piece of the roaster equipment is actually called the chaff collector, that it catches all the feather-like skin from the bean. And the bean becomes actually 50% larger and 20% lighter. And the roasting, it removes the moisture of the bean. That's why it does that. And the chaff, it's just bitter and it's dry. It's worthless. And my dad, what he always likes to do, especially when he first started roasting, is he likes to throw it in the air and watch it blow away with the wind. And when he does that, he always quotes Psalm 1 every single time. My dad is that person. Everything that he did, he always quoted scripture with what he did. And I absolutely love that. So every time I watch my dad roast coffee, I always think of this portion in Psalm 1. It always comes to my mind because my dad says it almost every single time. You see, the righteous love the laws of God, and the ungodly reject it and will end up like the worthless chaff blown away. You see, chaff provides a good description of all that is passing and useless in this life. As we look at verse 5, we see, stay away from the senseless life. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, as we see in verse 5. Now, when it comes time to stand before God and give an account for our lives, which all of us are going to be doing that, the wicked will not be able to stand. Farther, the psalmist writes that nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And so with that, we see that there's no place is saved for them among God's people. And when they come to that ultimate fork in the road, they decided to avoid God's path, not realizing that one day they were sealing their entire destiny. They may have thought in this life, you know, go to the left, go to the right. What difference does it make? Run with those who draw closer to God, or run with those who push God aside. It doesn't really matter. You see, right now is the right time to do the right thing and choose the right road. Every day is such a day. So we need to not play the fool. Don't choose that senseless life. In verse 6, we see that stay away from the hopeless life. See, Jesus often talked about two ways. He spoke of two gates, one narrow leading to life, one wide leading to destruction. He spoke of two roads, two trees, two types of fruit, two houses and two foundations. You can find that in Matthew 7. And in each instant, one brought life and a blessing, and the other brought death and sorrow. In Psalm 1, verse 6, it summarizes the end of every life based on whether one followed the godly or the ungodly road, the righteous or the unrighteous road. You see, the righteous road is God's road, that Jesus stands at its beginning with a cross by his side, that he knows and he cares personally and deeply for every traveler on this road, that he sees, he watches, he cares, he knows you. and that he will walk that road with you. See, the unrighteous road is the devil's road, where he and his demons wait. They promise life to the fullest here and now, but he is a liar and the father of lies. And what he promises, he cannot deliver. I mean, just think of how many marriages ended up in divorce because one partner bought into the lie of the devil. Think of how many people who grew up in the church no longer follow Christ because they bought into that lie and now are hurting and longing for something more, but they don't even know what they're longing for. In contrast, Jesus said in John 10:10, he says that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, and I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. You see, the devil's road is a road to ruin. It's one of death, destruction, and sorrow, and regret. The wicked and ungodly may think that it seems right, but just as Proverbs 14:2 says, that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You see, the way of the righteous road, however, is the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus said in John 14:6, that I am the way. So let me ask you this question. Which road are you taking this morning? I think this is a very important question that we need to evaluate and understand. Hey, which road am I on this morning? We need to get this right. Because one road is the road that we long for, and the other one is the one that we want to avoid. As we look at this wise and righteous man portrayed in this psalm, we should ask, who does this remind us of? This wise and righteous person. You see, the perfect man portrayed in the opening verses, it's Jesus. Augustine said that Psalm 1 is to be understood for our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, no one is truly like this wise and righteous man other than our Lord Jesus, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That Jesus is the ultimate picture of the wise and righteous man in Psalm 1. And that he challenges us to follow him down that road that leads to life. And this road, it's not going to disappoint at all. The wicked road will disappoint. As we get to some application, I have some questions and some things that you guys can take home and to ponder and to think about. The first one, like I said earlier, asked earlier, is which road are you on this morning? If you don't know, ask God to show you. Pray for the Holy Spirit to guide you to it. Oh, make that very, very clear for you this morning. Because now is the time to make sure that you are on the right road. Now is the best time to make sure of that. And if you are on the righteous road, praise God. Keep seeking, keep pursuing him, stand firm in his truth, and remember that he is faithful, because this road, it's a hard road. And man, there are some times when you're going to be questioning God's faithfulness, but we have to understand his truth. He is faithful. That's who he is. And he's right there beside us every second. The next thing if you were on the wicked road, do you have a desire to change? And I ask this question because there are many people who are on the wicked road and they don't have a desire to change. And it's heartbreaking to hear that. Do you feel God speaking to your heart this morning? And if so, then surrender your life to him. Don't wait any longer. Why waste your life? And if you do want to make this decision, I would encourage you afterwards, you can talk to me, Pastor Tim, or any of the other, any of the elders this morning after the service. Our last thing, that is your heart broken for those who are on the wrong road? One of the greatest things I think that we can do as Christians, because we tend to forget pretty easily, at least I do all the time, is I have to have myself write the names of those people. Because if I don't, I will forget about them. Not on purpose, but I just kind of do. And it's so important for us to remember those people because we are to pray for them. So what is God telling you to do with those people in your life? I'm a strong believer in the fact that the people that God placed in your life, he places in your life for a reason. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to be, how are you going to share the gospel to those people who need to hear? You see, our hearts should not be at ease for those whose lives will end up in eternal destruction. And so again, as before I pray, and Tim's going to come up here and do lead us in communion, get on the right road now if you don't know which road you're on. Make sure of that. This is the time to do it. This is the opportunity God has given you the grace to do so. So with that, let's pray. The Father, we just do thank you so much just for your word, that we can go to it, we can trust it, rely on it. We thank you, Father, that it's your word that changes our lives. It's your word is how you speak to us through your word. And God, I just pray for just the people here who are on the right road. God, we thank you for that. We pray that you continue to bless them. We pray that you continue to be with them, to give them the grace and the mercy that they need to continue to live for you. And God, those people who are on the wrong road, God, I pray that you will make it clear to them today, that you'll open up their eyes and help them understand that the road that they are on, it's going to lead to destruction. And they're always going to be longing for something as long as they're on this road. And Father, we just again praise you, God, so much for who you are. Praise you, God, so much for your sovereignty. In Jesus' name, amen.